you would, in your Bible tonight, Acts chapter number 27. Acts 27. I'll start reading verse 13 this evening. Acts 27. Verse 13. Paul is on one of his last missionary journeys. God had a purpose for Paul being where he is. By the way, God has a purpose for you and I wherever we are tonight. He said, "And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon." That word means very violent. "And when the ship was caught and could not bear up in the wind, we let her drive. Running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship. And fearing lest they should fall in the quicksands, they straight sail, and so were driven. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, no small tempest lay on us, and all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, 'Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to gain this harm and loss. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship.' You may be seated tonight. Thank you for standing, honoring the reading of the Word of God. Father, we love you. Lord, if there's ever been a song that's been sung that's timely, we are in deep waters on the way home. Lord, as this world is reeling and rocking, we want to thank you for the stability of the Word of God tonight. We want to thank you for the indwelling power of the Holy Ghost that lives in us. Thank you for our church family. I pray, Lord, you'd let me be a pastor to this people, that God would be pleasing to you, that I may teach them that of what's right. Help us, I pray, tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. The Lord has laid a series of sermons on my heart to deal with here at the church. Perhaps I should deal with them on Sunday mornings. But I feel it very important to teach the people of God on some of these violent winds that are blowing. You'll notice in verse 13, the wind blew softly while they were by Crete. But the Bible said, "But not long after it arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon." And when Paul knew about these winds, he knew about the dangers of this storm. Paul told the people, "You should have stayed by Crete." It reminds me tonight that within our country, within our community, that there are a lot of violent winds that are blowing across. Tonight, I want to deal with one of those winds, and I want to preach a topical sermon simply on that of socialism. What is socialism? Maybe you're like myself and raised in the country, been taught to work. You never even heard the word socialism, but today that's a huge wind that's blowing across America, blowing across our community, blowing across our young people. Really, tonight, I want to, if you've got a note, I wish you'd take some notes on these little sermon series on Sunday night. This of the wind, your colliding wind, the violent wind of socialism. Jesus confronted the money changers. And He challenged believers to give to the needy. I think it's right to help needy people. But would He support socialism? Would Jesus support socialism? Many Americans think He would. There's a Barna poll that says 24% think Jesus would prefer socialism. 14% think that Jesus would support capitalism. And then, this is astounding, 62% responded neither or not sure. 53% of Americans under 30 years old view socialism favorably. Socialism may sound very compassionate and Christian. However, it's actually opposite to everything that Christ has taught. What is socialism? A definition. Simply means this, a political and economic theory of social organization which advocates that the means of production and distribution and exchange should be owned or regulated by the community or government as a whole. What is capitalism? Capitalism is an economic system based on the private ownership of the means of production and the operation of profit, loss, and gain. First of all, tonight, by way of outline, socialism is based on a materialistic worldview. Very materialistic. This world is very materialistic. Brother Mike was teaching Wednesday night. I know I've alluded to that sermon several times, but it was a very timely message. I want to remind you tonight, not the one that dies with the most toys win. It's the one that knows Christ. And you know that your name is written down yonder in glory land. Socialism, first of all, is based on a materialistic worldview. Now listen, according to socialists, the greatest problem in the world is the unequal distribution of wealth. I'm going to say it again. According to socialists, the greatest problem in the world is the unequal distribution of wealth. To socialists, all that really exists is the material world. In fact, Karl Marx, the father of socialism or communism, invented the notion of dialectical materialism. That's a big word, big phrase for a country boy. The belief that it really is just the belief that matter contains a creative power within itself. This enabled Marx to eliminate the need for the Creator, essentially erasing the existence of anything non-material. In other words, his view of things, materialism brings power. Makes you be somebody. There is no need for a God, for your materials are your God. Tonight, We know the Bible teaches us. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 10, let's turn in our Bibles. 1 Timothy 6 and 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Money's not wrong. It's the love of money. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Look, if you would, in verse 5. 1 Timothy 6 and 5. Paul's writing to Timothy and he says, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. So, socialism is based on a materialistic world view. To socialist, suffering is caused by unequal distribution of stuff. Let me say it again. To socialists, suffering is caused by the unequal distribution of stuff. And salvation is achieved by the redistribution of stuff. There's no acknowledgement of spiritual issues. See, America is not in a money crisis. America's in a sin crisis. There's just an assumption that if everyone is given equal stuff, all the problems of society will somehow dissolve. The worldview contradicts Christianity. The Bible says that the cause of suffering is sin and salvation is found in Christ and Christ alone, which liberates us from sin. Socialism is based on a materialistic world view. As the parable of the talents. Let's look in Matthew 25 and 14. Matthew 25 and 14. Folks, when you preach out of the Bible, you got nothing to apologize for. Matthew 25 verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest to me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done. That's a good word to hear, is it not? Say amen tonight. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou in the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou delivered to me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents beside them. And the Lord uses the same phrase. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou in the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came, said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth, and lo, there thou hast that is thine. In other words, Lord, here it is. This is what I've got from what you give me. His Lord answered and said to him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not straw. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Tonight, as the parable of the talents show, those with good characters tend to accumulate more. Those with bad characters may lose everything that they have. Yet even if we are unable to accumulate wealth, Christianity, our Bible, teaches us that we can still have an abundant life. That's because our quality of life is not determined by how much stuff we have, but by our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 2, these contrary winds of your Euclidean that are blowing, the wind of socialism. Socialism is based on a materialistic worldview. But number 2, socialism punishes virtue. What is virtue? Virtue means a behavior that is showing high moral standards. Socialists want to distribute wealth to individuals according to their need, regardless of virtue. I'll say that again. Socialists want to distribute wealth to individuals according to their need, regardless of their virtue. As Karl Marx said, from each according to his ability, to each according to his needs. However, when any institution provides aid, it runs risk of removing God-designed rewards and consequences. It can punish those who are industrious by making them pay for those who are not. And it can reward those who are industrious by giving them the fruits of another man's labor. This is precisely what socialism does. Interestingly, Marx, Mr. Karl Marx, he mooched off others all of his life and failed to provide for his wife and children. You see, men start revolutionaries for private reasons connected with their own lives. The Bible teaches that aid should be tied to responsibility. Anyone who refuses to work shall not eat. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. I'm all for helping people. I'm all for having aid. But there is responsibility associated with aid. For even when we were with you this, we commanded you, 2 Thessalonians 3:10, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. It's not for the freeloaders. Socialism punishes virtue. The behavior showing high moral standard. Look in 1 Timothy 5 and verse number 8 again. 1 Timothy 5, verse number 8. Socialism punishes virtue. If any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And that's not taking any verses out of context tonight. Socialism is based on a materialistic worldview. We arrive by having stuff. That's wrong. Socialism punishes virtue. It punishes those that work hard and try to make an effort to provide for their family. Thirdly, you ever thought about this? Socialism endorses stealing. Socialists as a whole don't believe in private property. Ask Hitler's crowd tonight. We can't even obey the 8th commandment where it says, do not steal, unless we accept the notion of private ownership. Nor can we steward our money as the Bible commands, if the state owns our money. Fourthly and lastly, socialism is based on a materialistic worldview. Socialism punishes virtue. Socialism endorses stealing. But lastly, I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but socialism encourages envy and class warfare. Socialists demonize the rich, blaming all society's problems on them. People like Bill Gates are not acquiring wealth by stealing from masses. They're creating great products which produce wealth and actually provide jobs for many people. But if they are exploiting the poor, now where in the Scripture does it teach the have-nots demanding money from the haves? Instead, it teaches that we should not covet and we should be content in all circumstances. Exodus 20:17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Sounds like private property to me. Sounds like private property to me. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Socialism encourages envy and class war. This is what I've always wondered about people. For instance, if a person that would apply their self, whether it be through a trade school and get a higher education to be qualified for a job. I've heard a lot of people throw darts at doctors that spend 8 years to 10 years in education getting that degree so they could get in the place of that job. Well, if you're going to bark about somebody having what they have, why don't you do what they've done in order to have what they've got? We went to Renee's daddy's old home place yesterday. Went in the garage and we found a trial. They laid mud. He was a brick mason, block mason by trade. That old trial was wore out. Now, if you walk on that job, when I first started with her daddy, my job was to mix mud with a hoe in the box. You put about 14 scoops of sand to a bag of mortar mix with a hoe in a mud box. You add water. Now, I made $5 an hour. He laid the brick. He made $12 an hour. Why? Because he knew what he was doing. He had applied himself with that skill. Wouldn't that be bizarre? A man that owned the company stuck his neck out. Worked hard every day. And the one that shows up and leans against the truck all day on his cell phone makes what the one makes that's running the company. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Tonight, socialism encourages envy and class warfare. Philippians 4 and 11. Philippians 4 and 11. Philippians 4:11, Paul says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Socialism encourages envy and class warfare. You might throw rocks at your employer and say, "Boy, look what they have." Well, let me ask you something. Have you applied yourself to do what they've done? When I was with Pepsi, a lot of guys, I remember that day, they'd get on that route truck. Kmart would call us. They'd call me and said, "Preacher, you got a truck sitting out in the Kmart parking lot, but no driver." We'd send men out there, and well, there was the keys in the seat, money left. They'd just walk off the job and leave. But then the same one that walked off that job wants to make what his boss made to come check on him. Are you kidding me? I'm about done. I'm having too much fun. Lastly, I told you I was done, but I got one more point. I'm a bullet point. Socialism encourages enemy class warfare. But lastly, and listen, socialism seeks to destroy marriage and family. Essentially, what socialism seeks is for the state to replace the family. You better hear this old preacher and hear me real good. When God delivered the children of Israel, He brought them out from under the taskmasters of Egypt. In my opinion, that's where some government leadership wants to be in our life in America. Total control of the people. Socialism seeks to destroy marriage and family. Socialists seek for the state to replace the family. That way it can indoctrinate the children in its way of thinking and remove any notions of God and religion. Frederick Engels, co-author with Marx of the Communist Manifesto, once wrote that the society envisioned would be one of where the single family ceases to be the economic unit of society. Private housekeeping is transformed into a social industry. The care and education of the children become a public affair. My opinion, socialism is man's ultimate foolish attempt to take power away from God. Jesus teaches us that we work for what we have. Socialism, in my opinion, is a philosophy of failure. The creed of ignorance and the gospel of envy. Its inerrant virtue is the equal sharing of misery. Are you kidding me? Thank you for being here tonight.